Hello and welcome to the Foreign Desk Explainer. I'm Steve Bloomfield. On today's episode, our Istanbul Bureau Chief Christopher Lord explains why Turkey's referendum matters.
If the last 12 months have taught us anything, it's that opening the nuances of governance up to the whim of the people is a decision not to be taken lightly. Yet Turkey is about to embark on the most disruptive vote in its history, and it has the power to reshape the Republic forever. On April 16th, the country will vote by referendum on a new constitution. If it goes through, this new-look Turkey will have no prime minister, and its president, currently the ever-authoritarian Recep Tayyip Erdogan, will have executive powers of governance. President Erdogan is now on the campaign trail, and he's out to convince both Turkey and the Turkish diaspora to vote evet, yes, come April. There are around 5 million Turks living in Europe, but as a sign of how relations have deteriorated, Austria has already said that he's not allowed to campaign in Vienna. Well, he's making up for it back home.
Who am I? Am I just born on the earth? Is there any document that guarantees I'll survive until April 16th? We are all mortal, but at this point, the system is immortal.
There is a good argument for reassessing the Turkish constitution. The current constitution was penned in the chaotic years after the 1980 military coup. But what could this new proposed system actually mean? Well, it'll enshrine in law the president's current rule-by-decree powers over certain laws, making almost permanent some of the state of emergency rules that have been in place since Turkey's failed coup in July. It'll give the president sweeping powers to appoint judges, the cabinet, and civil servants, to dissolve parliament at will, and will also mean that he no longer has to be above politics, something Erdogan has roundly ignored anyway. The government argues this is closer to a French or American style of governance, but that's false logic. Turkey is among the world's worst offenders when it comes to putting journalists in jail. It has run roughshod over checks and balances and drawn dangerously close to undemocratic nations like Russia. Delivering more power to the ruler under these conditions is bad news for Europe and bad news for NATO, of which Turkey is a member. Surprisingly, one of the most vocal campaigners for yes has been the Prime Minister, Bin Ali Yildirim, who would be out of a job if this new constitution goes through.
Thanks to the powerful government, pressure groups and coups will be made history in Turkey. They will hopefully never be on the country's agenda again. And, under any circumstance, no one will dare make adjustments to the nations elected.
The zeal of Prime Minister Yildirim and other senior associates in the ruling party are telling of the broader reasons why this referendum has become so charged. Erdogan has reshaped Turkey's government to create a cadre of yes-men who believe whatever he says should be followed to the letter. To challenge, even to question, the stance of the president is a fast route to being ostracised from the party. The opposition is also widely diminished. The leader of the nationalist MHP has mysteriously joined forces with President Erdogan on the new constitution, while the pro-Kurdish People's Democratic Party, which entered parliament for the first time in 2015, has seen its two co-chairs put in prison and the party itself largely equated with supporting terrorism. Which brings us to the mood in Turkey itself. There's been a widespread disavowal of the word hayır, no, an anti-smoking leaf that was pulled after No appeared on its cover. A Chilean movie called No was pulled from a TV network in Turkey. Erdogan himself has suggested that to vote No is to share sympathies with terrorists. Now, that may sound ludicrous, but it's a good indicator of the loss of reality that's gripped Turkey over the last 2 years. The referendum vote has become incredibly divisive, with TV anchors losing their job for tweeting that they'll vote No, to kids being named Evet in rural Anatolia. There's a slim but real chance that the heartland of support for Erdogan might be swayed by the disorder of recent years and say no on referendum day. But it's looking unlikely. Erdogan has framed this as a vote for stability, a vote for democracy. But in a situation where many might be frightened to vote no, is this referendum really about power to the people or power to one person?
That was the Foreign Desk Explainer. My thanks to Chris Lord for today's episode. Tune in this Saturday for the full 30-minute edition of the Foreign Desk. I'm Steve Bloomfield. Thank you very much for listening. Goodbye.